Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to jump a few scriptures. Well, we'll rest in Peter. But anyway, I had Miss Myrna, I told her to remind me of this. You know, we've been talking about on Rosh Kodesh about the Psalms. Using the Psalms as a way to help us pray and remember how great Yahweh is. You know, to be able to tell Him. Because remember, we talked about at Rosh Kodesh this. A lot of times, within the first five sentences of a prayer, you know, we're repetitious. We get in a rut and all of that. We need to get out of that. And so I thought it was really good as we were talking, and she, I told her to remind me, and so she gave me a good little a note. And one thing that had happened to her and what she has been doing is she's been reading the Psalms out loud. Because Romans says, hearing the word, just hearing it, and is going to build the faith. So that would be something else that you could do is whenever you get to the place in the Psalms, read them out loud. Read His word out loud and help hear His word, not just read it silent. So I thought that was an excellent point that she brought out. And so now also in our praying, you know, praying out loud and, you know, just building our faith and telling Him how awesome He is. All of that together, working together. Look, guys, the bottom line is our prayer life has to get better. And I know mine has to get better. I've been doing better in the 9 o'clock, 3 o'clock prayers. I've been adding some of the Psalms in there, praying and just, you know, changing it other than just saying what I normally do, just to check off a list. Because that ain't good. The Father says, look, if you're in His check off no list, you got the wrong, it's got to be a heart issue. It can't be, we're just trying to check off list. And so, and I know that I felt better, because I can tell you, you get to working, I mean, I know how it is. You get to working, you get in a rut, you get into these things. The message of what He's telling us this month is we need to get out of these ruts. Amen? We need to get back on a solid road. And so, with that, I want Eddie, or who's got the PowerPoint? Just go to the next slide. Okay. Right here, I wrote this down. This came to me. I was listening to some things about ruts. And then this came to me right here. And I wrote this down. And I put it in my notes on my phone. In the beginning, we make habits. In the end, habits make us. And so what are we doing over and over and over again is what eventually who you are and what people are going to remember about you. And this is your life. So habits, what road are you on? So you definitely tell I'm not an artist, okay? So I try to do a street sign. Are we on the same old street? Or are we on Change Boulevard? And so my thing is if we're on the same old street and it's not leading us where we need to be, we need to get on Change Boulevard. Because he changed us from an old man to a new man. Amen? So, but here's the deal. He's done His part. Now we have to choose. We have to choose to be able to, what road are we going to get on? So with this, talking about habits. Now I want to say this before we get into the habits. Most of the time when we say habits, what usually comes to mind? Smoking? Bad habits. It's always bad habits. The thing about it is I'm just going to bring some things to us. We understand the bad habits, and the bad habits are gross sins. But there's a lot of habits that we have. Do you know that gossip's a habit? And it ain't good. But a lot of times you don't equate that with smoking, alcohol, drugs, pornography, and all that. You don't equate gossip. You don't equate jealousy. You don't equate, you know, it's a habit when you worry about what other people think about you. People's opinions, that can bring you down to where you can't rise above where you need to be, worrying about what other people's opinions are. And that's a habit. We got to break these little things, because what does the scripture say about the little small foxes? They're the one that spoils the vineyard. And so it's these little foxes that I want to talk about today, these little habits that we have that really define who we are. And a lot of times they hold us down from achieving who we are in Him and who we need to be in Him. Amen? This is a time, I said, this is where we're going to do. This is going to be a baby Elul. This is a time of this month before we go into Pesach. that if there's areas in our lives where we're still trying to get free, get set free, shake free, chains off, get rid of the chains, quit dragging the chains around, and all of these things, you know, you're trying to walk and something hangs on you or whatever. Freedom is what he's given us, and that's what I wanted to read first in Galatians 5:1, just in this one verse. It says, for freedom, Messiah has set us free. He did his part. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. We need to do our part. He set us free, but now he's telling us that in the freedom, we walk in freedom. But I know this has happened in our lives a lot of times when we've been a believer for long periods of time. Then what happens? Remember what we talk about, teshuva, repentance, is 180 degree? You know, me and Brian was talking about this earlier, but a lot of times when we repent, we're not doing 180 degree. We're doing a parallel. And we're still walking. We may walk in a freedom, but we're not creating a gap with the sin that does what? So easily besets us. We're not, but that's the part. He set us free. Then we're to stand firm. And then he said what? Do not submit again. That's our part. We have a part to play into this. And so, habits. Are there some habits that we picked up? Are there some things that we picked up in our life? Or is there something that's always been there? If we're a gossiper, if we're jealous, or if we're worried about people's opinion, let me tell you, I have a problem, and Tammy will shout. She'll probably have a Holy Ghost run. But I procrastinate. But I do. Do I procrastinate?
Yeah, don't.
All right. I don't know how many people, I mean, really and truly, if it doesn't get done to the year 3000, I'm good. I ain't going to worry about it. You know, if I don't want to get up and move, but at the same time, but you know what? That's a habit. That is bad. I need to do better. I try to do better sometimes, but I'm very streaky in the procrastination business. That's right, because she is OCD. And she is, but what is OCD, though? Compulsive? Obsessive? Isn't there a word called disorder in there? That ain't good either. Amen? So at the same time, when I'm not going to move in 1,000 years, she wants me to move in the split second. You know, and so, but that is where two come together when you try to make something. But guess what? It can cause a lot of heartache if somebody's needing to do something now. But yet, even though really and truly, and I use us two as an example, but what I'm trying to do is stimulate your thinking. What's going on in your life? What has you to where you need to break out of something that's holding you back? Because I'm telling you, things that hold us back in the flesh will hold us back in the spirit realm. Amen. And it would just do that. And then, because I'm telling you, it will work on your soul. It'll beat you down to where you think, I'm not worthy. I can't do this. I've tried to do this. I'm da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter 2:17. Just using some scriptures to stimulate this thought. Starting verse 7, it says, and now it's talking about, these are ministers who are bringing deceiving words, okay? But I want to get to 2:19, so I wanted to sort of look at the context, but 2:19 is what I want to capitalize on. It says, these are waterless springs in midst driven by a storm. For them, the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved. Well, that's a good thing, because he's telling you, people that's teaching you and preaching you lies, they have a reservation with darkness. For speaking loud boasts of folly, they entice the sensual passions of the flesh, those who are barely escaping from those who live in error. But look what it says here. Because, see, when people teach you lies and preach lies and all of that, they're trying to put you into bondage. And we're to be free. We're not to be into bondage. That's why most religions will tell you, if you're not what we are, you're going to die and go to hell. That's why you got certain ones that's real close to us will tell you they're the only way to heaven. And you'll have other people that say, if you leave our four no more, you're doomed. But that's nothing new. Priests have done that, even that has nothing to do with Torah, that worshiped other gods were telling you the same thing. If you don't do what we do, you're going to die and you're going to, you know, because we're the only ones. But that's a bondage when people tell you that. But His Word gives life, and it's where the freedom's at. Amen? Because now what He says this, it says, verse 19, they promise them freedom. Look, there's a lot of stuff out there in life that promise you everything. Look at a commercial. They'll promise you that if you put this on, you will never wrinkle again. Okay? If you take this, you will never age. And if you did, it's a lack of faith, I guess. I don't know. But there's so much stuff out there that if you do, but they promise them freedom, only Yeshua will give you freedom. Amen? No government. No seven steps to get prosperous. Think about this. Has the stock market fell in the last few days? It has fallen. And I know Dennis can understand this way more than I can because he's probably had billions. But I can't even comprehend a number. He probably understands what a number looks like. But just think about in the stock market. If you had $50 billion in the stock market, what is the percentage that has probably dropped in the last couple of weeks with this coronavirus? 12%? So what is 12% of $40 billion? It's more than my little peanut brain can figure out. You know what I'm saying? So with me, guess what? I'm just as happy because I ain't lost nothing, because I ain't got nothing in the hunt. But can you imagine somebody, the billionaires, that has billions of dollars in the stock market, they lost 12% of their income? They probably lost at least one or two, what, billion? $4 billion something? Can you imagine losing $4 billion? $40 billion at 12%, whatever it is. My calculator don't count that high. It runs out of room for numbers. Unless it starts getting small. I'm just trying to stimulate something in your mind. Today I feel good. Somebody ain't feeling too good that had their money in the stock market and it went down. If it went down 12% before they had an opportunity to move it or whatever they do. So I'm just saying that there's some people sweating today that probably don't feel good. Probably have stomach aches and everything else. Amen? Here's the thing. They promised them freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. And this is where I want to get to. For whatever overcomes a person, to that he is enslaved. Whether it's money, whether it's your wealth, whether it's jealousy, whether it's gossip, whether it's worrying about what other people say about you, whatever's happening in your life, there's no doubt in our life since that we've been born again and that we have Yeshua that we've overcome a lot. I know I've overcome a lot. We've overcome a lot in these places. But sometimes, even in this journey, you might can pick something back up. Or you may go back to something that you were delivered from. Okay? This is what the Father, I think He's trying to help us. How can we be the worshipers and the praisers that He wants us to be when there's still something that's holding us back? And He's wanting us to walk in total, total, total freedom. And so what I'm trying to do today is get you to take inventory. Are there little foxes in your life that's destroying or holding you back from who we're to be in Yeshua? Because that is so super important that we understand who we are in Him. Because we definitely don't want to be enslaved. Verse 20 says this, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, then it says this, they are again entangled. Entangled to what? Entangled to the very thing that they were defiled for in the very beginning. If we get entangled again in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. And the reason why we say this is because we always have to be proactive in our life to make sure that we don't get tangled up into something. If there is a vine in your life that's been slow growing, that's been slowly wrapping itself around you, we need to cut that vine off, not just at the vine. We need to cut it off at the root. Because if you don't cut it off at the root, guess what happens? It will come right back 8 months down the road, 6 months down the road, a year down the road, and you're going to, and we keep fighting the same old battles over and over and over again, and so we're never totally free. We get free for a season. The Father is, it's time. He's telling us it's time that we quit this getting free for a season and we get free for eternity. We get free and we walk free and we stay free because free people can help other people get free. Amen? I have seen this happen in people's life. It's called backslidden. Most people, we get there. But it's a sad state when the last state becomes worse than they were at first. But that's what happens. Verse 21 says this, "For it would have been better for them to have never known the way of righteousness than after knowing it and turn back from the holy commandment." And you know what? That's funny because this is New Testament and it says the holy commandment delivered to them. But I will tell you this right here in that statement. This is why community is so important. Community is so important that if we can stay connected and connected, we can help us that if we fall off the turnip truck, as we say, I don't know if they have turnip trucks up north, but if you fall off the turnip truck and you get to a place in your life, you can have people that can help you and pray for you and get you back on that track because we need one another in that area. Because left to yourself, you don't want to get to a place where there's no return, and there is a place of no return. And then this is what it says in 22. It says, what true proverb says has happened to them, that a dog returns to his vomit and the sow, after washing herself, returns and wallows in the mire. And the whole thing is we definitely don't ever want to get there. Amen? Okay, let's go to Romans 7. Now, I want to tell you, as we go through Romans 7, it is, if you just read Romans 7, you can get really, you have to go slow. Because if you don't, you're like, what in the world? Is Paul, did he drink too much wine before he wrote this letter? You know, you have to slow down, but he's really telling you there's only one problem. And I want to tell you this before we get in there. Sin is a problem. Sin has always been the problem. And he's going to tell you that the Torah, the law, is spiritual. But there's also a law of sin. Sin, there's a law that works in sin. And this is one thing that a lot of times I don't think people understand. It just kills me, you know, whenever somebody says, you don't have to do the law anymore. You don't have to do the commandments anymore. And I am just, slow down. And just, you have to really just slow down and take a deep breath. So you, what little hair I got don't pop back off, or pop off. But think about this. Guys, you minister to the party, say, okay, is this what you're saying? This is what I do say. This is what you need to say. Okay. I'm a sinner in adultery, murder, lying, killing, stealing, drug, all that's wrong. And so he died for my sin so I wouldn't have to break these laws anymore. Yes. Okay. So now I get saved, and I asked him to come into my heart, and now that I'm walking here, but yet now I'm free from the commandments that told me that I was a sinner and I needed a Savior, but now I'm over here. So now are you saying that I can murder, steal, kill, and all of that because that's not applicable to me anymore? So if I was doing that over here, but I didn't have Yeshua, I'm going to hell. But I can do it over here and have Yeshua, and I'm going to heaven. That don't even make sense. But people don't hear what they're saying when they're saying that the laws and the commandments are done away with. The Old Testament is not relevant for us today. They have no clue. If you can just slow them down and say, this is what you're saying. Because usually when you do, they say, no, I'm not saying that. Then what are you saying? And you know what most of the time they say? I don't know what I'm saying. Because then when they realize, what am I saying? Well, they will say, we need to do Jesus' commandments. I said, okay, I'll give you that. I said, okay, what is his commandments? Especially, let's start in Matthew. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law and the prophets. So if he's saying that, if he didn't then do away with it, why are you saying that he did away with it. When he just, you tell him he's saying something he didn't say. But what happens is with that mentality, guys, that's why we as the body of Messiah is so defeated. And it's just so hard. The Father is trying to get this word out. He's done it for generations during period and times. You know, I was talking to Scott the other day, and I was telling him about orbiting. Whenever you have a spaceship, it goes into outer space, it just goes up and it does its thing. But can it come back any old way it wants to do? Can it re-enter the atmosphere any old way it wants to do? Absolutely not. It cannot. There has to be a place. There has to be an angle. There has to be a time. There's time. Everything's involved. It has to be an angle. Because if it does not, it will what? It'll burn up. Okay, the Earth's atmosphere, bounce off and just stay out there. Okay, the margin of error is like 2 degrees and trying to re-enter. So it's sort of precise, right? That there has to be. But do you know that His Word and His times and seasons are made? It's the same way. This is why Pesach, this is why we was talking about. Isn't it sort of awesome that at least every 6 months there's a major check in our life to where from Passover season to Sukkot season where we're getting ourselves prepared, making sure that we're walking. Look, guys, we have habits in here, and a lot of people in here have great habits and good godly habits. That's what we want. What I'm talking about today is if we got these great habits, continue to walk in them and produce them because they produce good fruit. But what I'm also saying is what little bitty thing that's going on in your life that you need to make sure that you get rid of. Let's just don't look, when you see the word habit, look at some big, ugly word. What are the other words that don't seem so ugly that steal the works of the flesh that hinder us in our walk? That's what this is about. This is a time and season that the Father is wanting us to deal with these things. Because you know what? He's not just saying it here. I won't know this till later. But usually when you start, when the Father starts directing here and he ends up doing it everywhere else, you start hearing in a conversation piece, even other congregations that don't even know the Torah is bouncing all around what he's saying. Because he has only one message. Amen. All right, so Romans 7. Did I say that? All right. Here we go. 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. That's a good verse. Amen? The law is spiritual, but I am of flesh sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions. And you know, sometimes we say that, don't we? Sometimes when we do and we make stupid mistakes, we say, why am I just eat up with being dumb? For I do not do what I want, But I do the very thing that I hate. So Paul's trying to tell you something here, that the spirit and the flesh is warring against each other. It's a simple thing that he's telling you. He's trying to tell you, guys, this happens. He's trying to tell you, because you have Yeshua in your life, he's illuminated your spirit, but your spirit has got to rule over your flesh. It didn't mean that it's going to go away. It just now he illuminates us to a higher walk in him. See, before you didn't even know you were spiritual. You were just fleshy. You know what I'm saying? You're fleshy hanging out everywhere. So there was no warring but whenever the Holy Spirit came and said that you're a sinner, you need a Savior, and you accepted him, and the Spirit now starts to rule, the flesh don't like it too much. So the very things we know to do, but yet the things that I hate to do sometimes happens. Verse 16, now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law and that the law is good. Because you know what? The law done what it's supposed to do. The law shows us that we're a sinner and we need a Savior. That's what it's saying there. I wrote this thing down here. Stretch the truth. Do you know that a lot of times in life, a lot of people, believers, stretch the truth? And I wrote down what this is. Stretch the truth is to say something that is not completely honest in order to make someone or something seem better than it really is. Have we been guilty of that? Y'all can wave at me if you want to. I'm just saying, sometimes we get into that, but what happens is we don't consider that's an issue. Because really, stretching the truth is when we're trying to tell somebody that's not completely honest, is really completely a what? A lie. Because we're allowing people to draw the wrong conclusion. In other words, just because I may have visited the battleship in Alabama, doesn't make me a sailor. But I can honestly say that I was on the battleship. I was on the USS Alabama. And I can allow people to say, oh, well, then, you know, you can look at my age and say, well, maybe he was 10 when he was on it, but maybe he served on it. But yeah, and then all of a sudden, man, I thank you for your service. And then they get to telling me how great I am. Then I just don't stop them. Because really, I was on it. I went there on a tour. You know, but yet when you get it, we'll find ourselves in situations to where we jump off into something and then we're like, I hate to tell them that I ain't a sailor or that I wasn't on there. Stretching the truth. But do you know what? I'm just telling you might not think that's a problem, but it's a problem. It's a problem because it puts ourselves into where we're not honest. And you know good and well it pricks your conscience to do that. But yet, sometimes we're not man or woman enough to go back and say, you know what, I allowed you to draw the wrong, but you know what, we need to do that. We need to learn not to stretch the truth, because there's no truth stretchers. Amen? They don't make these things. I just thought these little things were just so fitting for what happens in our life. Look, I know we all want to be Moses, but we ain't. Might as well get over it. Okay, there was one Moses, he called him. Because I promise you, if you had to put up what he put up with, you wouldn't want to be Moses. So there's a war that goes on in our life, but it's these little things that really, we just need to get off that. If we're on that same old street, we need to get on Change Boulevard. Okay? All right. Verse 17. So now it is no longer I who do it, but now he's telling you the problem. But sin that dwells in me. If sin is dwelling in you, that's the problem. So let's forget all of the nuances. If there's sin in your life, and there can be sin in your life as a believer, we need to repent and get rid of it and walk away from it. That's what I'm trying to say. Because the thing about it is when you've asked Yeshua to come into your heart and your life, I'm telling you there's people that do it every day. But guess what? You're just not illuminated to all truth. There's still things, you know, when I got saved, do you know I still went to church on Sunday? Oh, don't freak out. But when I got saved, I still went to church on Sunday because that's where I went to church. But the thing about it is, but was Sunday the Sabbath? Absolutely not. But do you know, I didn't know of anybody but the Seventh-day Adventist that went to church. And then I learned later, because my brother, Worldwide Church of God, only two people in the world I knew. And I said, if the whole world's going on Sunday and that group's, them two little groups, they can't be right. Because the majority is always what? Right. But I learned, guess what? There was Yeshua and 12 disciples, and there was a bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees. And I realized, you know what? The majority's not usually always right. But that was a change that was happening in my life. So what the Father was teaching me and telling me that as you start this walk, you will be doing things by default that might not be the word of Yahweh, because churches do that, believe it or not. They're still doing it today. Changing times and seasons and changing times in law. They're walking, they're full of it. But he is calling people out of that system, because that is a Babylonian system. That is a system that is not of him. But yet, faith is what made you whole. So you can't sit here and don't ever do this. Say, well, then is my salvation not true? Yes, it's true. Because your salvation is between you and Yeshua, not between you and an organization. Amen. It's not between that. But you can see where we are walking more truth. And you know what? There's still more truth that we got to walk in. And you know the only reason why I'm not walking in it? Because I don't know it yet. But once it gets revealed, then we will walk in it. That's what this is about. But what we don't want to do is go back and pick up things that he's delivered us from. if he's brought us into the feast and festivals and all of these, and you go back into Christmas and Easter and all of that, you're done. It just don't work. There's nothing there for you. Because he's in enlightening of truth is a process that he's building in us. So I just wanted to say that. In verse 17 again, so now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Well, Paul's telling you something because he's telling you that I'm a believer. And he's talking to believers here and he's saying that sin is the problem. Let's go to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 6. Y'all know this part. It's about Cain. Cain brought a gift and he didn't bring his best. He didn't bring the first fruits of his best of his fields. This is what I believe. It's my opinion. And Yahweh didn't accept it. He accepted Abel's his offering, but he did not accept Cain. Cain copped an attitude. And Yahweh knew he had an attitude. And Yahweh said to him, he says, Yahweh says to Cain, why are you so angry? And why has your face fallen? And then he tells him something. And you know what? You might as well put yourself into you. Okay? Because he's telling us the same thing. He says, if you do well, in other words, if you walk in obedience, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And do you know what, guys? I'm telling you, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Absolutely you will. Cain's no different than we are, and we're no different than him. Or Abel, either one. We walked in both shoes. And then he says, and if you do not do well, what's the next word? Sin. If you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is contrary to you. The New Living Translation says this, it's eager to control you. Sin is crouching at the door, and it is eager to control you. This is no different than what Paul is saying in Romans. And he's talking to a person, Cain here, and I believe wholeheartedly that he's going back in the Torah and he's understanding this, because if his desire is contrary to you or if it's eager to control you, but then he tells him something. What does he tell him? You must rule over it. Remember we talked about in Galatians 5:1, freedom? Freedom in Yeshua has set us free. But we must stand firm and we must walk in that freedom. We must overcome it. Sin, guys, when does sin go away? Ultimately, it's after Satan is thrown in a lake of fire. But until then, sin will always be crouching. It'll always be crouching. And it's always at the door. But do you know what the antidote is? Keep the door shut. Keep the door shut. Don't open the door to opportunities to sin. If you open the door to opportunities to sin, guess what? What does James say? We talked about that. What did James? It says, we are drawn away by what? Our own lust, and we're enticed. And when we dream about it and meditate on it, then it ends up manifesting itself. It ends up manifesting itself, and then when it manifests it, and then we start walking in it, then we develop a habit, and then we start walking, and now we're on a road. So what I'm saying is this, guys, Paul is trying to help us be free, stay free, and walk free, and he's trying, and he's using his word, and even today the Father is telling us, guys, sin will always be crouching at the door, but you got to keep the door of the flesh closed. If you open that door, if you crack that door open, if you ever tried to keep a roach out of your house, try to seal all your cracks. Good luck finding them all. I don't know how they get in. They come in through the laundry bag, I guess, or through the grocery bag. I'm just saying, the thing is when you have swept your house and it's always crouching. So we need to do the best we can never to open that door. But guess what happens to the flesh? If you're not prayed up, ready, and you're not walking in the Spirit because there's a warring going on, I promise you, curiosity kill the what? you're going to crack that door open, and all Satan needs is a crack. He don't need you to open it all the way open. All he needs is opportunity. Don't allow the enemy opportunity. We do it, but I'm telling you, don't do it. Amen. I'm telling you, we do it, but I'm saying don't do it. The body of believers do it, but I'm saying don't do it. We are to never give him opportunity, because guess what? Sin will be crouching at the door until he puts slew foot in the lake of fire, and he gets rid of him forever and eternity, and then we can walk. We talked about this earlier. The Babylonian system. It's economic, it's religious, and it's political. And the thing about it is for most of us, we fight a religious, flawed system. Because it's full of error. We just read it in Galatians. It has changed since the times that the apostles ceased to be. They were crucified and all of that. A religious system set up. It has stretched the truth. Man, they really stretched the truth. It is changed. They have kept Yeshua as the anchor point, but they have changed 99% of everything else. And the Father is bringing us back, and he's filling us back with the 99%. He's showing us his ways. But guess what? In this journey, sin still crouches at the door. So we have to master it. Okay, go back to Romans 7:18. We'll finish up with these last few scriptures. Romans 7:18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is, he clarifies it, that is in my flesh. So he's telling you, if you're predominantly in the flesh, there's nothing going to dwell in us. For I have desire to do what is right, but not able to carry it out. This is what grace is all about. Grace is given us, he gives us the power and the desire to do his will. Without his grace, guess what? You're going to fail every time. There's just no hope. Paul struggled with a spirit that buffeted him. But what did Yeshua tell him? My grace is what? Sufficient for you. Guys, in this, sin is crouching at a door, but what is the Father going to tell you? It's going to always be there until the end of time. My grace is sufficient. What is the grace? The grace is the power for you not to grab that doorknob. But if you overcome and you quit walking in the flesh and get out of the spirit, you won't grab that doorknob because you want to peek what's on the side of door number one. It's just what happens. But he's saying, don't do it. Verse 19, for I do not do what I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. Why? Because he's saying, if I'm in the flesh, I keep opening up that door. Now, if I do not do what I want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So he's trying to say, if you're walking in sin, it's because the sin's in there. And he's saying that you got to identify problems. You know, whenever there's issues in people's life and they're overcoming addictions. Now, addictions are real and they're painful and they're hard. Let me just use prescription drugs for an example. Because Brett Favre, he's a quarterback. Most of you won a Super Bowl. He's a great quarterback. He's a great guy and all that is, as the world considers great, okay? But he will tell you that when you're a quarterback and you get beat up and banged up and you get hit by these big dudes, we're talking 300-pound dudes that can run like 4.8, 4 whatever they are, and they hit you and it feels like a truck hit you, you know, and you're bruised up and you're mangled and they're putting you in ice and all of that to try to get you ready for the next week. Then they start giving you something to deal with the what? The pain. And he will tell you that when they do that, the next thing you know, these things, you can get addicted to these painkillers. He didn't go out wanting to do that, but because of him, because you know what? I got to perform. I have to play next week. If I don't play next week, somebody else is going to play. And then eventually they're going to get rid of me and I'm not going to get paid. And you don't realize that in this industry, we're talking millions of dollars. I was talking to Coleman. There's a guy named Tony Romo. He's quarterback. Was for Dallas Cowboys. You know, so right now he's a commentator. All he does is he sits there for what, maybe 16, 17 weeks behind a mic during a ball game. He gets to go to ball game free, flies him over there free, does everything free, and he just tells you what's going on in a ball game. And they just signed him to another $17 million contract. $17 million to tell me what I can see. He dropped the ball. I could see that. Pay me $17 million. I'll tell you he dropped the ball. I'm like, how do you pay somebody $17 million? That's insanity. I can't define it. But I can tell you, I'll tell him how he dropped the ball for $17 million. A year. Ain't that something? Is that crazy? I don't, yeah. I know, but the thing is, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing at how everything is flipped. Verse 20. Because I just read that one, right? Yeah, okay, but sin dwells. Okay, verse 21. I'm still thinking, how in the world can you get $17 million for telling somebody how to play ball after I'm sitting here watching it? It'd be one thing if I was on the radio and I couldn't see it. You know what I'm saying, Josh? But, man, I'm seeing it. And then sometimes we look at them and we say, did he see what we saw? Because sometimes, got me shook up. Yes, you can.
Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of Yahweh Elohim that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled and upright and godly lives in this present age.
Amen. Amen. Now you couple with what he says with Galatians where it talks about the works of the flesh. You read that scripture and you go into Galatians where he talks about the works of the flesh and you read the works of the flesh. And if there's one of them that you're doing, stop doing it. And ask the Father, because not only can you just stop doing it, you're going to have to pray and get deliverance. Because I'm telling you, gossip, guys, people are compelled to just talk about people. You think that it's just so easy just not to do that? It is not so easy not to do that when you're compelled to be the first. Are we nosy? Society is nosy. Pinocchio has nothing on the rest of all the society. You know what I mean? Because we want to know what's going on. Because when somebody... I'm meddling. I'm going to just say, this is what this is about. I'm just trying to stimulate thought. I mean, if say that me and Dennis is talking, and all of a sudden, Tammy walks up, and then we start whispering. Is that going to go over? No, because she's going to pull me to the side and say, first of all, was y'all talking about me? That's the first thing. We're going to get clear right off the bat. Was you talking about me? And then when we say no, then she's going to feel okay. But is she going to leave? No. What was you talking about? It's personal, but I'm your wife. We're one. And so then we're going to go through the scriptures of why it's okay. But what I'm saying is, it is our nature to want to know and be in the know. It is. This side hears something. I promise you, if I took them outside and I told you something, and I told them I was going to tell you something, when I brought them all back in, do you think the rest of the day they're not going to ask you, what did he say? Ain't no way. It ain't going to happen. That's just who we are. But the Father is working on us, amen? And that's why I'm saying, like I said, it's the little things that in our life is what the Father wants us to capitalize on. He wants us to understand if there's areas in our life that's not right, even though to us they're considered small, they're not. The works of the flesh is not small to him, is what I'm saying, amen? Okay, so verse 21, it says, so that I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. He's still telling you the same thing. Sin is crouching at the door. For I delight in the law of Elohim, in where? My inner being, my spirit. And then he says this, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells within our members. So there's a war that goes on in our spirit, our inner being, and in our mind. That's the battlefield, this waging war that's in our members. But then in Romans 8:1-2, and we'll finish up with this. This is what he says, but he says this. But there is therefore no condemnation of those who are in Messiah Yeshua. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Messiah Yeshua from the law of sin and death. Amen. And that's the beautiful, and this is the thing. We have been set free. We have to choose what road we're walking on, though. We have been set free. You've been set free from gossip. You know, I've been set free from jealousy. I've been set free, hallelujah, from procrastination. Amen. And may you be healed from OCD. And then so, that's right. CDO, I'm sorry, because OCD's out of order. So anyway, but what I'm saying, but if there's areas in our lives, let's work on our, and you know what? We don't need to be telling everybody else your problems. We have problems. Ask the Father, what is holding me back? A lot of people in here, you want to walk and you want to bask and you want to be in the presence of the Father. I understand that. I do too. He's learning. We've been there. We've had these moments, but we want to have that more intimate relationship. But is there something in our life that's blocking us? And that's what this is really about. If it is, it could no doubt be a habit. It could be something in our life that we're walking in that we're blinded to. Ask the Father to reveal that to us, to set us free from it, so that, guys, again, we can start having the best feast cycle that we've ever had. Pesach is coming up. I want to have a great Passover. I never forget, you know, Douglas and Tara, when you were sitting there and when you was telling me the time that Kobe got saved, sitting right there at the Passover table, you know, because he's sitting there crying, and, you know, and Douglas was, that ministered to me so much, because you know what? That's what it was all about. That's what it's all about. To be able to have a Seder and somebody get saved at the Seder, having a Pesach, it just blew me away how that happened. And I can tell you that, using Kobe as an example, I'm sure he's had a whipping or two since salvation. You know, so it shows you that probably he wasn't perfect at the time. But there's a growing. That's what this is about. Amen. Amen. Let's pray.